Down to business on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland. We understand business. Choose the bank that's here to help you rise to today's business challenges and tomorrow's.
On this week's industry review, we're looking at the men and women who fed us during lockdown, the farmers of Ireland. Between the pandemic, climate change targets, EU caps, the last 2 years have been challenging for the agriculture sector. So to take a look at the lie of the land, as we'll call it, for this week's industry review, I'm delighted to be joined by Joe Healy, he's a former president of the IFA, and he's a dairy farmer. Claire Power is a dairy farmer from Carlow, and she's the founder also of Ballybar County Workwear Outfitters, and we'll talk about that as well. And also joining us is Thomas Duffy. He's the Vice President of the European Council of Young Farmers, and he's a dairy farmer up in Cavan. So you're all very welcome to the programme. Joe, we might start with you, and maybe you might give us an overview of the farming sector. The pandemic per se, stuff changed, but maybe there was just a shift from catering to retail, and life didn't alter too much for farmers, or is that not the case?
No, Bobby, I think you've hit the nail on the head there, because, you know, if you look at the pandemic, it affected everyone. And we'll start off with that, whether no matter what your background was, it affected you. I think farmers, by their very nature, are used to, in most cases, working alone. I know last March, February and March and April, 12 months, the farming for me was just like it had been 5 years before that. Before I had been president of IFA, I was at home calving cows, training calves how to drink from the bucket, training young cows into the milking parlour, which Claire knows all about as well. You know, and trying to get fertiliser out, keep grass and silage in front of cows. So it was very similar to the ordinary day. To compare what I was going through with lads I know that were used to getting up maybe at 6:30, 7 o'clock, joining the traffic into Galway City, you know, working in a factory where there was company all around them all day long, came home in the evening, men and women, maybe had their dinner, got a training bag and went to training for the local team and came home and fell into bed. All that changed completely. So for farming, it wasn't too bad. Now, it did affect, like there would be a lot of farmers and the big social outlet for them in the week would be to go to the local mart, for example, or to go into the local co-op. But a lot of those businesses closed down and that took a bit of that away as well, you know.
Let me just bring in Claire. Claire Power, she's a dairy farmer from Carlow, and founder of the Ballybar Country Workwear. Claire, Joe mentioned there about the mart. Am I right in saying that lots of farmers, and again, there's often misconceptions about people, but lots of farmers want to keep online marts now. So there's a lot more farmers online than maybe people give them credit for.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, we personally have found the online system far more productive because we don't have to stay there with our stock and wait around all day, wait to see if they're sold and confirm with the auctioneer.
So it's much more efficient.
Yeah, we can go home, go about our day and, you know, watch it on the phone and work away pretty much. And, like, yes, you miss out on the social outlet, but you've at least got that option now,
yeah,
I think. And you're exposing your stock to a greater audience as well. It's not just the regular Carlow folk that turn up every week anymore.
Now, that accent doesn't sound like it's from Bagnallstown, so you better tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up in Carlow.
Yeah, so I've been here for almost 11 years now, so almost a local, I guess.
Yeah.
But I met my husband. He was working on our farm in Australia. And followed him back out.
And in terms of your own experience, is there a massive difference the way we farm here than say from your own family farm back in Australia?
Oh, definitely. It's far more intensive here. There's a lot more measuring and data, and
is the scale much smaller? Or
yes,
it is. Okay.
Scale is much smaller. But I think, in some terms, it's relative because, you know, you can run a lot higher stock to the acre here than what you can at home. The climate is a lot more forgiving here, and there's obviously a lot more financial supports at EU level and government level. And that sort
okay,
of thing.
Let's bring in our third guest, Thomas Duffy. He's the Vice President of the European Council of Young Farmers, and he's a dairy farmer from Cavan. You're very welcome to the programme, Thomas. How are you?
Thanks, Bobby. Thanks. Quite glad that I think a little bit of the heat is dying out of it today.
I'll say that for farmers always like to talk about weather, so we better get the weather off the agenda. So are you happy with the weather at the moment as we speak, Thomas, or what's the story?
I'll be happy if it rains a bit on Monday. Things are getting quite dry up here. As you know, we have the first ever orange heat warning here in that's ever been issued up here in Cavan and Monaghan and going into Northern Ireland. So it's been quite dry up here now. There's parts of Cavan that are quite happy to have another week of good dry and weather because it's been a very wet spring, but it's not too bad.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about was the fact basically that only 6% of Irish farmers are now under the age of 35. And for every one farmer that's under 35, there are 9 over 55. That's a worrying statistic, is it not, Thomas, in terms of the future and those coming up behind us in farming?
It's extremely worrying, Bobby, and I suppose it's also worrying that that's the last accurate kind of measurement we have, and that's from 2016.
Right.
And the trends up to 2016 were quite poor. You know, they were declining all of the time. So the situation could actually be more stark at the moment. Now, we're not, you know, we can't be absolutely sure of that because a number of measures were introduced in the last cap that did have a beneficial effect. And so we would hope to, but certainly, and particularly the likes of Chagas there have done national farm surveys. And we are seeing not only a continued decline, but a very stark difference in decline in the beef and the sheep sector in particular. The percentage of young farmers and the percentage of older farmers is definitely widening. In the dairy sector, it's widening, but at a slower pace because more young farmers are getting into dairy and are converting to dairy because they see a proper return for their work, which is a very concerning thing because obviously we need a diversified agricultural sector.
Yeah.
You know, the same thing we're seeing in tillage and horticulture, decline in those sectors of both young people, but also in the total land area.
Yeah. Interesting, Joe, as well. I suppose that it can be a very different world within farming. If you take dairy, if you take beef, if you take tillage, like one can be doing extremely well while another is struggling. And how easy is it for farmers to move between, I suppose, those categories within farming? I'd suggest it's quite difficult, is it?
Yeah, and look, just to comment on the figures that Thomas gave there, the figures in Ireland in relation to the age structures of Irish farmers is mirrored really across the whole of the EU, which is definitely a concern. But you talked about the movement across the sectors. It's quite difficult, actually, because if you take it up to 2015, you know, from the time I came back farming up until 2015, I was really caught in a straitjacket in relation to the milk quotas, unless you bought your way into it and bought milk quota. And for many farmers, that was kind of a step too far. And for a lot of farmers, the type of land that they have, if you take the suckler farmer and sheep farmer, in some cases, not in all cases, no, but in some cases, their farms aren't conducive to tillage, or they're not conducive to dairying because they might be very fragmented or it might be stony land or, you know. So it's not that easy to go. And plus the fact that, you know, if you're in tillage, you have invested in the machinery to be a tillage farmer. If you're in dairying, you've invested in a milking parlour.
It's too easy to generalise them because they're very specific.
And like the Chagas survey and the CSO figures would show huge discrepancy in the average income on farms. And like we saw in one sector there, the suckler cow sector, average farm incomes of less than 10,000, 9,000 actually. The average farm income across all was 25,000. And I know averages can be dangerous. I used to give an example down your part of the woods years ago. I was at a meeting and there was a speaker talking about averages, and a person in the audience, he put up his hand and he said, "I'd like to stop that speaker." He said, "Averages are okay, but," he said, "if I was at home and if I was making the dinner," he said, "and if my head was in the oven and the other end of me in the fridge, on average I should be all right, but I'd be far from it." But, you know, the average overall is 25,000. And when you compare that, Bobby, to that's for farming. to the average of all employees in the country of 40,000. You know, there's a huge gap to be made up there.
And also, just to maybe say, to talk some relatively good news, am I right in saying that beef prices are the best that they've been in 8 years? Am I right in saying that the price of milk is really strong at the moment? So, Claire, are these not good things for farmers?
Yeah, they are. They're, I mean, long time coming. We've had a big struggle, especially with the beef. And like Joe said, it's a stark reminder that the average beef farmer is under 10,000 euros living at home.
Yeah.
And I think that the way things are going without the proper supports for the beef farmer especially, we're going to lose the suckler farmer here in Ireland, and then the beef system will turn to a dairy beef system, and then we will lose that premium product on the supermarket shelves here in Ireland that's Irish bred and Irish red.
Just to, in relation to, you know, lots of farmers I know, some maybe do have other jobs on the side, or they may be part-time farmers, but you've got Ballybar Country Workwear. You're an outfitter.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work in your world with farming? Just tell us a little bit how that business works.
Yeah, it's pretty tough at the moment,
right.
Especially around calving time. So Ballybar takes a bit of a backseat during calving, but no, it's been fantastic, and I've been getting a load of support, especially from the young female farmers out there. They're been immense help to me. And
so it's basically workwear for farming, as in?
Yeah, yeah.
What type of things do you sell?
The shirts predominantly, and we've got a wool neck gaiter that's 100% merino wool. And it's focuses on natural fibres. So they're 100% cotton shirts, and they're durable. They're double stitched, and, you know, they can take a good beating.
Sounds
that's
good.
Important.
Joe, I want to just come back to you for a second. And I don't want to get into the intricacies of CAP, but just the way the EU budget works, 1/3 of the total EU budget goes towards the farming sector. Mm. So it's a massive sum. And could I just put a general stat to you that paying people not to do things, or if that's the incentive, if you get paid on a basis that you don't do something, is that a good model?
Well, I think, first of all, Bobby, the 1/3 of the European budget going to agriculture, it sounds big, but in the 1980s, it was actually 2/3
is that right?
of the European budget was going to CAP. So, you know, it hasn't kept pace with that at all. This current round of CAP is in about the mid-30s. The next round of CAP that we're about to go into will be 30% on average. So, and the asks are constantly increasing. You know, the European Green Deal, the Farm to Fork strategy, the biodiversity strategy. And for every ask of farmers, there's an increase in costs. And farmers are used to adapting, and it's very important for European and Irish farmers to farm as environmentally friendly as possible, because that's critical. But I think what needs to be matched there is that in the trade deals that the European Commission do, that the agricultural produce from the countries, the likes of Brazil and Argentina and the Mercosur trade deal, that there's an equivalence of standards.
Yeah.
You know, we can't be expected...
It's a level playing field.
Yeah, we can't be expected to have the high costs and to have to compete for the shelf space with... like, if you take it, in June alone, last June alone, the size of County Longford was destroyed in the Amazon rainforest.
Yeah.
1,062 square kilometres. And, you know, in the meantime, we're planting hedges, we're fencing off waterways, and we want to do that, and we like doing that, but we need the
equivalence of standards. Let me put that to Thomas Duffy, and again, farmers get a bad rap maybe around the green agenda, but really, you know, there's a strong argument to say that, you know, they should embrace everything environmental, because it's actually in their own interest, Thomas.
Yeah, absolutely. And ultimately, in terms of climate change, we are going to be the ones that are affected first. I mean, if you're working in an office, it might mean the AC, or it might be a bit uncomfortable. But ultimately, in our business, if we get higher rainfalls and more droughts like predicted, it will negatively affect our bottom line. But I think very often the message from farmers around consistency, exactly what Joe was saying there, be that around extraction of peat for horticulture, or be that, you know, doing trade deals while simultaneously trying to decrease numbers in Ireland and across the EU, is often mistaken as being an anti-green message. It's not an anti-green message. It's merely a call for consistency across the board. Yeah. And accepting, and I suppose I heard it very well summed up, Bobby, recently. Farmers get criticised for being more market orientated, and supplying what the market demands, which is in and by the EU auditor's own assessment, actually recently, an increased demand for beef and dairy across the board in the EU per capita and across and obviously because the population is increasing, that's also increasing in the EU. But we're also then criticised for being dependent on subsidies when we try to provide environmental goods, and those environmental goods have to be paid for. So farmers very often, unfortunately, are in a no-win scenario. We're criticized when we do wean ourselves off and become more market orientated, and we're also criticized when we take subsidies in order to provide goods that are simply not being paid for by the market.
Okay, well, that's a fair argument. Last word to you, Joe. I'm drawn to the back page of today's Irish Examiner. Two-thirds of farmers are overweight, a study says. Are they not looking after themselves, eating their greens as they plough the fields and they go about their business? But maybe that should be, that could equally say two-thirds of all Irish males are overweight.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it's in line, I think, with the general, if anything, that 62% that was mentioned in the paper today is a bit less than the 70% when you take it over all Irish males that are overweight. But, you know, it's still no excuse. I think it's very important. We're just gone through Farm Safety Week, on Irish farms, and safety is a huge issue. And, you know, the whole area of obesity, healthy living, exercise, that all comes into Farm Safety Week. Yeah. And like, even though there is a week designated to farm safety every year, we always say in the IFA that every week should be a farm safety week, you know, because...
Well, that's a good place to end, because I think farm safety is a message that needs to get out there. Mm. And it's one that, you know, every year we look at tragedy after tragedy, and we can't talk enough about it in one sense.
Absolutely. And my own father used to have just a little line every time we went to calve a cow or fix a machine or do anything, he'd always say to us, just ask yourself what could go wrong here. So straight away you were thinking, you know, what could go wrong and what will I do if?
Okay. Well, look, it's been great to talk, and it's refreshing to be allowed into your world of the farmer. I think a lot of people don't really know the intricacies of what you do every day, and it's been enlightening for me certainly today to hear my guest Joe Healy, a former president of the IFA and a farmer up there in Galway, Claire Power, originally from Australia, but now in the lovely Carlo, and Thomas Duffy, the Vice President of the European Council of Young Farmers, and he's a dairy farmer from Cavan. Thank you all for your contribution, and I wish you well.